Welcome to the second hour of the Hillbilly Hits Traditional Country Music Request and Dedication Show podcast. Hillbilly Hits is hosted by Tracy Pitcox, and it's in its third decade of providing traditional country music, the true heart of country music. Here is Tracy. Enjoy the show.
I wondered what happened to pretty Melody Jones, the girl who promised to be mine and mine all alone. I returned from the army to find that she'd up and gone. I'd wondered what happened to pretty Melody. I remember the nights when we went to the Saturday show. She'd hold my hand and whisper how she loved me so. Now she has left me, where, oh, where did she go? I wondered what happened to pretty Melody Jones. I hear she met up with a man and they moved to the city, where she had a baby that favored its mama so pretty. I hear he abandoned them both, oh what a pity. She turned to the booze and the thrills and the men and the city. I hear that they found her and her baby alone. They were clinging together though all life within them was gone. Now all that remains is a grave that covers their bones. I'd wondered what happened to pretty Melody. It kills me to know what happened to Melody Jones.
Nobody in broadcasting has a more recognizable voice than Bill Mack. He's been heard on radio, seen on television, heard on records, featured in various publications, magazines for many, many years. Bill Mack was closely associated with truck drivers and millions of other listeners by his radio programs out of the Fort Worth-Dallas Metroplex. Since 1969, broadcasting during the wee hours of the morning and keeping the world company with his great country music and chit-chat that allowed him to be featured in more publications and to win more awards than any other country music DJ in the entire world. He's been honored as Country Music DJ of the Year, Mr. DJ USA, Texas number one country DJ for over 30 years, and the Super Honor. He's a member of the Country Music DJ Hall of Fame in Nashville. In 1999, Bill Mack was placed in the Texas Country Music Hall of Fame and the Texas Country Music Disc Jockey Hall of Fame. He was recognized as one of the better songwriters as well in the nation. His compositions have been recorded by over 60 artists, including entertainers such as Dean Martin, Ray Price, Jerry Lee Lewis, George Jones, and dozens of other top names in country music. He's also a member of the Most Cherished Millionaire Club. That doesn't indicate he's a millionaire financially. It represents the fact that his composition of a song called Drinkin' Champagne that he wrote has been played over a million times on radio and television. First recorded, of course, by himself, then by the great Cal Smith, and later by George Strait.
I'm drinking champagne and feeling no pain till early morning. Dining and dancing with every pretty girl I can find. And having a fling with a pretty young thing till early morning. Knowing tomorrow I'll wait. conscience, I guess. Though I must confess, I never loved you much when you were mine. I'll keep drinking champagne and feeling no pain till early morning, dining and dancing with every pretty girl I can find, and having a fling with a pretty young thing till early morning, knowing tomorrow I'll wake up with you on my mind. I'll keep drinking champagne and feeling no pain till early morning, knowing tomorrow I'll wake up with you on my mind. Knowing tomorrow I'll wake up with you on my mind.
Cal Smith with one called Drinkin' Champagne, written by Mr. Bill Mack. George Strait, as I mentioned, went on to record that particular song. George Strait's recording of Drinkin' Champagne won Bill Mack a platinum album because it sold over 1 million copies. His biggest moment in music came, though, in 1997 when the song he wrote called Blue made Leanne Rimes a star, and he won a Grammy Award. Was also voted Country Song of the Year in 1996, the highest honor that can be bestowed upon a songwriter. On June the 4th, 2003, the song Blue was also selected as one of the top 100 country songs of all time by CMT. During all this time, Bill Mack was still heard daily over WBAP radio, and then, of course, moving on to Sirius XM Satellite for a decade, beginning with its inaugural day in 2001. In 2011, he left Sirius XM, but continued to be very active in the country music business, not only writing a magazine article monthly, as well as, of course, continuing to write songs, making personal appearances, emceeing shows, and when it came to any questions about country music entertainers in the business, Bill Mack was always called upon to get his opinion and his insight as well. One of the true greats of our country music business, Bill Mack, passing away last Friday. We tonight honor him, and of course Bill was a frequent guest with us on our Hits Radio show here at KNEL many times, and I went back and among those probably 20, 25 different interviews that he did with us throughout the years, I picked up just a few excerpts of Bill Mack talking a little bit about his career in country music.
I love that town of Brady. I've been down there many times. I used to go out there and do a little, every once in a while, a little deer hunting not too far from you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have got some, I've been telling the folks every day, you've got a tremendous Leanne Rimes doing a version of an old song that you wrote.
Many years
Blue.
Ago, yeah. I wrote it many years ago, and you know, it's kind of you because you've got a collector's item. You've got my recording of it, and I think it only sold about five. So that is a collector.
We've got one of the five. I played it Friday night. I played your version and Leanne's two together, and it was just really neat.
I'm so thrilled for the way, of course, it's such a compliment when someone records one of your songs and it does as well as what Leanne's has done. But I'm so proud of this little lady. Have you met her yet?
I haven't met her yet. I've heard a lot about her, though.
You're going to love her, and she's destined to, well, we never know, of course, in this business how far, but I would bet on her. If I were a betting man, I'd say she's going to go all the way to the top with her talent.
And she's, is it 13, Bill?
13. She'll be 14 in August. So she doesn't like me to talk about her age, so I just say, well, she's younger than me. But so is water.
That's Now, don't, not that you've been in it for a long time, though. How many years have you started? When did you start in the radio?
I started in the early 50s. I started with Lefty Frizzell, Hank Williams, Johnny and Jack, and Carl Smith.
My goodness.
About 1951. So I've been able to enjoy, and the good Lord's blessed me with having the pleasure of enjoying my kind of music for many, many years, and I'm enjoying it more now. And let me say something about you. You're doing a good job for our industry out there, and I really mean this. I speak on behalf of a lot of folks. Thank you for doing what you're doing.
Well,
you're leaving a good image of country.
Well, we appreciate that. We really do. I've got to get you to tell us a story, though, Bill, about Blue. That was really for somebody else, right?
It was. I wrote it for Patsy Cline. And it was it's strange. I kind of sat on that record. I haven't told this story to too many people, but Snuffy Garrett, one of our great producers out of Hollywood, he's now retired, but he produced everybody who was anybody in Hollywood, used to call me and ask me for Blue because he was a disc jockey in Wichita Falls when I wrote the song in Wichita Falls.
Mm-hmm.
But when Patsy was killed in that plane crash, I don't know whether it was a moment of despondency or something. I just didn't do anything with Blue. It was there, and Snuffy was asking me to send him a copy so he can get somebody to record it.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it doesn't make much sense why I'd sit on a song when somebody was asking for it.
Yeah.
But I did, and then when I heard Leanne sing and they were asking for something, she sounded to me had a touch of Patsy, young Patsy in her. And we pulled the old record out of the files, and just one of those chemically correct things, I suppose, in our business took place. And according to the charts, it's doing awfully well for her.
Doing very well, it really is. Well, Bill, it's a thrill to hear from you today. I appreciate you calling us. And
I invite you to come down and visit with me again, and I promise you one thing, Tracy, if you come down within the next couple of 3 weeks to see me, it will not snow.
Well, I think
you got snowed in last time, did you?
Yes, we were snowed in at WBAP, and I've told them the story before. We couldn't get a cab. We called every cab company in the Yellow Pages, trying because I'd snuck off from the group and couldn't get a cab. And everybody said it'd be 4 or 5 hours or something like that. You got on the radio and told them that you needed a cab, and I bet there were 20 cab companies calling you wanting to come to help you out.
They were probably all wanting tips.
That's probably true.
But do come back and see me, and I want to say to your listeners out there how much I appreciate all of you people for the support on the song Blue. I speak on behalf of Leanne, but mostly thanks to you folks for listening to Tracy. Tracy, have a good time at Fanfare, and make them treat you right in Nashville.
Well, we'll do it. Bill Mack, you're an institution to country music. Thanks for calling us.
God bless you, friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Leon Rimes doing One Called Blue, written, of course, by the great Bill Mack. Tonight we honor Bill Mack, a great legendary disc jockey, a songwriter, of course, promoter of country music. And as I told Bill many, many times, of course, I was mainly influenced by him being a disc jockey, but I was also a big fan of the records that he made throughout the years. And he wrote this particular song, and this was always my favorite. Here's one called Today, I'm Bringing You Roses.
I never treated you right when you were with me. I guess I just took you for granted all along. But today I'm bringing you roses to make up for the wrong things that I've done. I'd come home from work, you'd meet me with a kiss. I'd kiss you back, but my heart wasn't in it. Then I'd sit down to the best meal that a man ever had. I never thanked you for the work you put in it. But today I'm bringing you roses to make up for the way I was back then. Yeah, I'm gonna bring you the prettiest roses that a man can find to show you what a big fool that I've been. I remember you'd dress up. You'd want to go out. I'd say I'm tired. You'd say that's all right. Then I'd sit up and read, and you'd doze off to sleep. Half the times I didn't even kiss you goodnight. But today I'm bringing you roses just to make up for how I treated you back then. Yeah, I'm gonna bring you the prettiest roses that a man can find in this town to show you what a big fool that I've been. Then came the time that you got sick. I thought of the doctor bills. I didn't think much of your pain. You finally got so sick, you couldn't even get out of bed. I never heard you once complain. But today I'm bringing you roses. I'll wear my best suit, get my hair cut and shaved. I'm gonna take each single rose that I bring you. And I'll place them carefully, one by one, on your grave.
Today I'm bringing you roses, and I'm bringing them just for you.
Well, how long have you been with WBAP?
Well, March will be my 29th year.
My goodness.
That's a long time.
It's a long time. It really is.
That's long enough for just about anybody. I know it's been a long time for me. I can imagine what it's like for some of my listeners out there.
You've kind of gotten the songwriting bug back in you, haven't you?
Writing more songs, Tracy. Had an awfully good year of it. Of course, got the Grammy and the Academy of Country Music Award, and we couldn't be happier, and the old album, Blue, is still number seven after 76 weeks, so that's I think, some sort of a record. And then, of course, I have a song in Leanne's new album, which is also already past 3 million in sales.
That's Clinging to a Saving Hand.
Which is my favorite of all the songs I've written.
Which Connie recorded that, right?
Right. This is Marty Stewart.
That's true. Well, that's great. Did you ever think that you would have this kind of success, Bill, in your time of the career, of your career?
Shamrock, where I was born, a very successful career for me, and I mean this, at the time would have been the continuance of driving a tractor for my dad on the highways mowing weeds. And I did that, and I liked it. But my dad wanted me to do something else, God bless him, and got into the same business you're in, and it's been good for both of us.
Well, it's been very good for you. It really has, and you've shared a lot with a lot of people in country music. You really have.
Well, you haven't exactly rolled dirty stones yourself, Tracy. You've done a fantastic job there at KNEL, and you don't know how much we appreciate you.
Well, we appreciate you, too, very much, Bill. I know you're busy. I'll let you go, but we look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Well, to all of your listeners out there and you, my friend, a little belatedly, I hope 98 is absolutely great, and I look forward to seeing you Saturday.
I'm sitting and waiting for the big, big river to rise. I just lost the one with the one eye. idolize. Her love for me has turned into despise. I'm sitting and waiting for the big, big river to rise. I'm sitting and waiting for the big tide to come in. Ain't been so blue since can't remember when. Can't win her back no matter how hard I try. I'm sitting and waiting for the big, big river to rise. Oh, when the river rises, I'm gonna jump right in. Though if I ever want her back, she'd soon be gone again. Well, there ain't no need in me lingering on. I might as well admit it, she's gone. Didn't even get a chance to apologize. I'm sitting there waiting for the big, big river to rise. Ever want her back, she'd soon be gone again. Well, there ain't no need in me lingering on. I might as well admit it, she's gone. Didn't even get a chance to apologize. I'm sitting and waiting for the big, big river to rise. I'm sitting and waiting for the big, big river to rise. I'm sitting and waiting for the big, big river to rise.
Well, visiting on the telephone with us is one of my heroes, Mr. Bill Mack. Bill, how are you today?
Hey, Trace, thank you, pal. I appreciate it so much. Good to talk with you.
You too. You've got a very exciting thing coming up this weekend. They're going to induct you into the Texas Country Music Hall of Fame.
Yes, and what an honor going in with the likes of Ernest Tubb, Hank Thompson, Waylon Jennings, and... I just think I happened to be on the right boat.
I guarantee you, you certainly did. Did you ever think when you started out many years ago, Bill, that you'd get such an honor as this?
When I started out, Tracy, several years ago, many years ago, I never thought I'd leave Shamrock, Texas. When I went to Amarillo from Shamrock, that was going to New York City. Mm-hmm. Now, I have been very, very blessed, and in answer to your question, I had no idea that I'd be blessed this highly. And, you know, I want to toss this in, too. On the 28th, that's a week from next Saturday, we're going to Orlando for the NAB, which you know is the National Association of Broadcasters,
yes,
where I'm in nomination for the Marconi Award this year.
Wow.
And that really, really excites me and thrills me, and I have been blessed.
Really, the last few years, your career has really kind of hit a highlight, especially with Leanne Rimes' recording of Blue. That certainly didn't hurt you any, did it?
No, it didn't. And I want to thank you for the help you've given me while we're on this subject down through the years. You've been one of the staunchest supporters of my brand of music and your brand, of course, too. We both pretty well have set our sights on the same focus as far as the kind of music we like. But, my gosh, you have done so much for me, you and that fantastic radio station.
Well, you're very welcome, and it's an honor to be able to work with you, too, Bill. What do you look forward to the future? I know you have a book that's coming out pretty soon.
Working on a book, working on a special on country music, which I think you'll be interested in. That's the history of country music for the past 50 years.
Mm.
Somebody asked me the other day, said, when are you going to retire? I said, retire to what? This is fun.
That's right.
Yeah, and, you know, the time I could have stepped out of radio a few years back, but I decided that it is such an enjoyment. And as you know, you got so many good people out there who have... The fans of country, they just make you want to stick with it.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, Bill, it's such an honor to be able to say congratulations to you coming up this weekend. We look forward to being with you there in Carthage, and we're going to have a great time.
I'm looking forward to having you out there with me, because every time you're amongst the crowd, we always have a good time. And again, thank you, Tracy, and also your many, many listeners. And There's no way I can put into words how much I appreciate the support.
Well, it's well deserved, I'll tell you that. Bill, we'll see you this weekend, and once again, congratulations.
You're a good friend, pal. God bless you.
Anything you want to tell our friends down in Central Texas today?
Well, what would I just lay on them? I think the two magic words right now I would lay on, and I think they can accept this, and I hope they do, because it comes from the heart. Keep cool.
That's great. Bill, thank you so much.
Thank you, pal.
There used to be a twinkle in your pretty brown eyes, and a smile was always there. But now in the place of a happy look of life, there's only a look of despair. At nights at home when our telephone would break the silence with its ring, and I told you that business was calling me out, you'd faintly smile and say not a thing. After the pain that I brought into your life, the shame and misery, I'll never understand how you could love such a man and still you stand to me. And even when our friends in their confidence told you that I was doing you wrong, you hid all your shame and still defended my name, though you knew my secret all along. And now the other woman is no longer in my life, you're helping me forget the shame. You hold your head up high and still act proud to be my wife and proud to wear my name. After the pain that I brought into your life, the shame and misery, I'll never understand how you could love such a man and still you stand by me. And still you stand by me. And still.
Bill Mack for you, and Still You Stand By Me, as our little tribute to Bill Mack comes to a conclusion. I wanted to mention on a personal note, I was 16 years old, and I've told this story 150 times, I guess, throughout the years, but it made an indelible imprint upon my life. I'd followed Bill Mack as a kid. I listened to him every night on late-night radio, and we were at the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo. And I called Bill Mack whenever we got to Fort Worth. Actually, my first time at being in Fort Worth by myself. We were with, of course, an ag group, an FFA group. And I called Bill Mack on the radio just to kind of let him know that I was actually in Fort Worth. And he said, "My boy, come see me over here at One Broadcast Hill." Well, there was nothing doing that I actually snuck out of the hotel with my buddy James Roberts. We hired a cab, which was the first time I'd ever ridden in a cab, certainly by myself without my parents or whatever, and went to One Broadcast Hill that night and sat up all night long with Bill Mack, my hero. I just started working at the radio station here about a year before that time, and Bill was kind enough to put me on the air on the radio with him, and we talked through the night, and I was there and watched him in action, watched him take calls from all these different people that were calling in from literally all over the country that was listening to him. And during the time we were there, it was one of the worst ice snowstorms ever to hit Fort Worth, Texas. And so about 4:35 o'clock in the morning, we decided we needed to go back to the hotel before our ag instructor was going to get us up to go to the stock show. I started calling cabs that night, and there was not one cab company in the whole Fort Worth area that would agree to come to One Broadcast Hill to pick us up. It was just too dangerous. The weather was too bad. You were slipping and sliding all over the road. Nobody would come and pick us up. And I was in a quandary because I knew what was going to happen, where I was going to get expelled from Brady High School. That was pretty much what was going to happen whenever they found out we'd snuck out unsupervised. Well, Bill Mack got on the radio, and he just casually mentioned that we were there, and we were stuck and needed to get a cab. And after us calling all the cab companies in the phone book, about 20 phone lines lit up, and they were all cab companies wanting to come to pick us up and take us back to the hotel. Well, we got into the cab, went back to the hotel, and they barely, you know, it was about probably 15, 20 miles an hour till they got us back there. The weather was so bad. And whenever I tried to pay the gentleman for taking us back, he said, "I'm not going to take your money." He said, "I'm doing this for my friend Bill Mack." And I said, "Well, how long have you known Bill Mack?" And he said, I've never met Bill Mack, but I listen to Bill Mack every night on the radio, and Bill Mack is my friend." And that just kind of went all over me at that particular time, and I thought to myself, that guy had never met Bill Mack. He probably never will meet Bill Mack, but he listened to him every night, and he thought that Bill Mack was his friend, and Bill truly was. That's the kind of impact Bill Mack had on a cab driver that night, and on myself, and on my decision, and my career as well. I thought it was very appropriate to leave you with this particular song, written by Bill Mack, sung by Connie Smith. Here's one called "Clinging to a Saving Hand."
Sing me a song of praise and glory. Help this wandering child to understand that when I close my eyes in sleep eternal, I'll be clinging to a saving hand. I want you to sing to me about the Rock of Ages.
This is Daryl McCall inviting you to stop and visit the Heart of Texas Country Music Museum at 1701 South Bridge Street in Brady, Texas. The museum is preserving country music's wonderful past through displays representing Johnny Paycheck, Merle Haggard, Farron Young, Hank Thompson, Freddie Hart, and over 70 other great artists. Visit the Heart of Texas Country Music Museum, promoting and preserving our rich country music heritage.
In L.A.,
if you're looking for a secure place to store your stuff, Pitcock Storage has storage units available today. Call 456-KEYS. That's 456-KEYS. With three locations and over 180 units, we have three different sizes available for you. That's 456 KEYS, 456 5397 for Pitcock Storage. Units available today.
Oh, say, Tracy, here's an old song I haven't heard by Hank Snow in a long, long time. Bindaberry's Final Run.
Yeah.
An old train song, you know.
That's a great, great song. I hadn't played that in a long time either, yeah. Harvey, come to think of it.
Yeah. Well, I haven't heard it in a long time. I guess he learned all them train songs from Jimmy Rogers, you know, or whoever.
Well, I tell you what I'll do. I'll knock the dust off of that old record and play it for us tonight.
Okay, yeah. All righty, I thank you.
Always good to hear from you, Harvey. Thanks for calling in.
You bet. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bindaberry was a brave engineer. He told his fireman, don't you ever fear. All I want is the water and coal. Stick your head out the window, watch the drivers roll. Watch the drivers roll. Watch the drivers roll. Stick your head out the window, watch the drivers roll. Bindaberry said before he died, there's two more roads that he wanted to ride. His fireman asked him what could they be. Said the old Northeast and then the AMB. Said the AMB, it's the AMB. Said the old Northeast and then the AMB. On the fatal morning it began to rain. A rough come rain. Bindaberry was the engineer, with the throttle wide open and without any fear. He didn't have no fear. He didn't have no fear. He had a running wide open without any fear. At his watch, shook his head. We may make Atlanta, but we'll all be dead. The train was flying by a troublesome switch. Without any warning, then she took the ditch. Yes, she went in the ditch. Well, she took the ditch. Without any warning, then she took the ditch. Well, the big locomotive leaped from the rail. Ben never lived to tell that awful tale. His life was ended and his work was done. When Bindaberry made his final run, he made his final run. He made his final run. When Bindaberry made his final run.
Yes, I'm Mr. Shorty.
All right.
Knock him out, John.
We'll do him for you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Nobody knew where he came from. They only knew he came in. Slowly he walked to the end of the bar and he ordered up one slug of gin. Well, I could see that he wasn't a large man. I could tell that he wasn't too tall. I judged him to be about 5'3", and his voice was a soft Texas drawl. Said he was needing some wages before he could ride for the West. Said he could do most all kind of work. Said he could ride with the best. There in his blue eyes it comes from the need of a friend. And though he tried, he still couldn't hide the loneliness there deep within. Said he would work through the winter for 30 a month at his board. I started to say where he might land a job when a fella came in through the door. And And I could tell he was looking for trouble, for the way that he came stomping in. He told me to leave Shorty there by himself, come down and wait on a man. The eyes of the little man narrowed, his smile disappeared from his face. Gone was the friendliness that I had seen, and a wild look of hate took its place. But the big one continued to mock him, and he told me that I'd better go. Find him a couple of glasses of milk, and then maybe Shorty would grow. When the little man spoke, there was stillness. He made sure that everyone heard. Slowly he stepped away from the bar, and I still remember these words. Oh, it's plain that you're looking for trouble. Trouble's what I try to shun. If that's what you want, then that's what you'll get, 'cause cowboy, we're both packing guns. His hand was already positioned, his feet wide apart on the floor. I hadn't noticed, but there on his hip was a short barrel bat 44. It was plain he was ready and waiting. He leaned a bit forward and said, when you call me Shorty, say, mister, my friend, maybe you'd rather be dead. In the room was a terrible silence as the big one stepped out on the floor. All drinking stopped and the tick of the clock said death would wait 10 seconds more. He cursed once or twice in a whisper, and he said with a snarl on his lips, nobody's mister to me, little man. And he grabbed for the gun on his hip. But the little man's hand was like lightning, the bat 44 was the same. The 44 spoke and he sent lead and smoke, 17 inches of flame. Oh, the big one had never cleared leather, beaten before he could start. A little round hole had appeared on his shirt. The bullet went clear through his heart. The little man stood there a moment, then holstered the bat 44. It's always this way, so I never stay. Slowly he walked out the door. Nobody knew where he came from. They won't forget he came by. They won't forget how a 44 gun one night made the difference in size. As for me, I'll remember the sadness shown in the eyes of the man. If we meet someday, you can bet I will say that it's me, Mr. Shorty, your friend.
First of all, I want you to know that I come from Route 4, Liberty, Mississippi. Now, that's 12 miles west of Macomb, Mississippi, 65 miles due northeast of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and 116 miles due north of New Orleans, Louisiana. It was there that I first saw the light of day out at Amite County, September the 28th, 1926. I was born there. Now, as I grew up in that community, the only extracurricular activities that we engaged in was to go coon hunting or go to revival meeting if we had a crop laid by. And that's all we did except work. And this particular day that I want to tell you about is one evening when we were going coon hunting. We had a pack of hounds. When we went to mill with our corn to get it ground up, we'd get some ground for dog bread, and we'd get some ground for just regular corn meal for human consumption. This particular day, we wasn't too busy. All we had done is just cut down a few fence rows, shucked and shelled some corn and went to mill, drew up some water because that was wash day, helped get the sow back, what rooted out from under the net wire fence, sharpened two sticks of stove wood real sharp and pegged them down over the bottom wire of the fence where the hog couldn't root out no more. And had a rat killing. If I'm lying, I'm dying. We had rat killings in those days. Well, this particular day after we got through the rat killing, I walked out on the front porch and I hollered, and them dogs come out from under the house barking. They knew we was going coon hunting. And I hollered again, and my neighbor way across the sage patch hollered back, and that meant I'll meet you halfway. We met in the middle of that sage patch, and he had his dogs, old Brummy and Queen and Spot, and I had Tory and Little Red and old Trailer. And we went out into the swamps, and we started hunting. Oh, we was having such a fine time. Caught four great big ones. I heard a racket, and it scared me, and I whooped my carbide light, what I had wired to my cap around there, and I was looking in the vicinity of where I heard the racket coming from. And the beam of light hit a man right in the face, and it like him to have scared me slapped to death because we was hunting on this man's place. I said, "Mr. Barron, is that you?" He said, "Yes, Jerry. What are y'all doing? We hunting. How many have you caught? Four great big ones." He said, "Well, boys, glad to see you. Y'all want to spend the rest of the evening hunting with me and John?" Well, I looked, and lo and behold, there was John Eubanks, a man that lived on Mr. Barron's place. John Eubanks was a great American. He was a professional tree climber. He didn't believe, I'm telling you the truth, he didn't believe in shooting no coon out of no tree. It was against his upbringing. He taught us from birth, from the day we were born till the age we could keep listening to him, give everything a sporting chance. Whatever you do, give it a sporting chance. He'd have been a great conservationist today if he'd be here. And John said, "Take a crosscut saw coon hunting with you. When you tree a coon, hold the dogs and cut the tree down. Or either climb the tree and make the coon jump in amongst the dogs. Give him a sporting chance." A lot of times we'd climb a tree and make a coon jump in amongst 20 dogs, but at least he had the option of whooping all them dogs and walking off if he wanted to. This is strictly left up to the coon. So I said, "Mr. Barron, we'd be glad to go hunting with you." You know, he was a rich man. He had sold a lot of cotton during the First World War for $1 a pound. He had some world-renowned dogs. And we hollered 3 or 4 times, and they started hunting. And we listened, and directly, old Brummy didn't bark at nothing but a coon. He had a deep voice. And when he cut out on him, it was a coon. Don't worry about no possum or no bobcat. Brummy was running a coon. And then old Trailer and old Highball and them famous dogs and Mr. Barron's got in there with them, and old John Eubanks would holler, "Hey, speak to it." And my brother Sonny would holler, "Hey, look for." And oh, it was beautiful. Now, y'all get this picture. About that time they treed, we rushed down into the swamps. And there the dogs were, treed up the biggest sweet gum tree in all of Amit River swamps. It was huge. You couldn't reach around this tree. There wasn't a limb on it for a while. Way up there, huge tree. And I looked around at John, and I said, "John, I don't believe you can climb that tree." And it hurt John's feelings. He pooched his lips out, got fighting mad. He said, "There ain't a tree in all these swamps that I can't climb." And he got his Brogan shoes off, and he eased up to that sweet gum tree, and he hung his toenails in that bark, and he got his fingernails in there, and he kept easing up the tree, working his way toward that bottom limb, and he finally got to it, and he started on up into this big tree. "Knock him out, John. It won't be long." And John worked his way on up to the top of the tree, and whoo, what a big one. And he reached around in his overalls and got that sharp stick, and he drawed back, and he punched the coon. But it wasn't a coon. It was a lynx. We call them souped-up wildcats in Amit County. And that thing had great big tushies coming out of its mouth and red big claws on the end of its feet. And people, that thing attacked John up in the top of that tree. "Whoa! you can hear John squall. What's the matter with John? I don't have no idea. What in the world's happening to John? Knock him out, John. Whoa! This thing's killing me. The whole top of the tree was shaking. The dogs got to biting the bark of the tree and fighting one another underneath the tree, and I was kicking them back. You dogs, get away. What's the matter with John? Knock him out, John. Whoa! This thing's killing me. And John knew that Mr. Barron toted a pistol in his belt to shoot snakes with. And he kept hollering, "Ooh, shoot this thing. Have mercy, this thing killing me. Shoot this thing." And Mr. Barron said, "John, I can't shoot up in there. I might hit you." John said, "Well, just shoot up in here amongst us. One of us got to have some relief."
Funeral Homes, we guarantee to provide the best funeral prices for our community. At Heritage Funeral Home, we offer the Legacy Plan. The Legacy Plan is a full traditional service at the location of your choice, including a 20-gauge sealer casket, basic services of the funeral director and the staff, embalming, visitation, funeral ceremony, transfer of the remains, hearse, and the stationery package for only $3,995. At Heritage Funeral Homes, we offer affordable, dignified, professional services in Brady, San Saba, and Menard. And Heritage Flower Shop is now open at 300 North Bridge Street for all of your floral needs. Stop by Heritage Funeral Homes today and ask about the Legacy Plan, as well as a special on all of our monuments. That's Heritage Funeral Homes, guaranteed to provide the best funeral prices for our community.
Leave me if you we did it on the Porter Wagner Show. Oh, yeah.
If you're looking for a secure place to store your stuff, Pitcock Storage has storage units available today. Call 456-KEYS. That's 456-KEYS. With three locations and over 180 units, we have three different sizes available for you. That's 456-KEYS. 456-5397 for Pitcock Storage. Units available today.
Thank you for listening to the Hillbilly Hits Traditional Country Music Request and Dedication Show, hosted by Tracy Pitcox. To listen live, tune in to KNEL 95.3 FM and knelradio.com on Thursday night starting at 6 p.m. Central Time. We look forward to you listening again.